Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Keith over here, broadcasting live from DeVille Square in Pensacola, Florida. And I have on the other side of the phone with me here today is Ms. Haya Hendricks, who is owner of Smart Metrics and the CEO, and has come up with a really incredible product that you're about to introduce to the world, aren't you?
Yes, yes, I am. It's a very exciting product. I just want to correct you. We're a public company, and yes, I'm the major shareholder and founder, but we have over 1,000 shareholders, so it's a little bit incorrect for me to go there.
Right. So ownership's sort of spread, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's tell everybody what you and the company have, what you all have designed here, because this is a game changer.
Okay. What we've done is we've taken a fingerprint scanner. If anybody sort of has gone through an airport in the United States and a lot of other foreign airports, you have these scanners that scan your fingerprints. What we have done is taken that technology and reduced it down into absolutely miniature electronics that sit inside a credit card. So we've built a fingerprint scanner that's less than a quarter the thickness of a credit card that sits inside the credit card itself and is then used. You swipe your finger across the little sensor on the surface of the card. And in 0.25 of a second, it scans, matches, and then validates your fingerprint and activates then the card's chip. It works with the new chip and PIN cards. So it doesn't require any additional equipment or the retailers or the ATM machines. It works with the existing chip card infrastructure and banking infrastructure, but it turns the credit card or layers biometric identification technology inside the credit card.
So you have possibly eliminated a whole bunch of this credit card fraud problem that is global at this time, haven't you?
Yes, we have. it really can even replace PINs, mind you. Of banks and card issuers still want to use PINs at the ATMs. They still can, but the card itself, if somebody has scammed your PIN or stolen your PIN, the card still will not work unless you've swiped it with your fingerprint. So it's a quantum leap in credit card security. You know, you bring up fraud. There's research showing that in 2014, and not even 2015, we're waiting for the 2015 figures now, but the 2014 figures on global fraud, over $16 billion. And of that, over $8 billion was in the United States. And the US only represents 25% of global card usage or transactions. So while having 25% of the global market, the United States has over 50% of the fraud rate on credit cards.
That's amazing. I want to say in one simple product you have hopefully eliminated the majority of this, but let's face it, this could not have been an easy task for you and your team, could it?
yes, a difficult task. You know, it was seriously, we envisaged a solution, but there were no electronics available to create the solution. When we started out on this, processors were a quarter of an inch thick, silicon components, too thick to even consider embedding inside a credit card. So Yes, there was nothing off the shelf that we could go out and use to build this. We had to go back to from not only creating the products electronically, but also creating the electronics for the product, which has been a long and winding road, as the song goes.
Oh, so this this just didn't take a couple months, then, did it?
No, not even 6 months or 12 months. It's taken us close to a decade to do this.
That's absolutely amazing to me.
We just didn't give up. You know, one obstacle after another, and you know, during that time, you know, we'd be working with one little component and re-engineering it and making it so that it conforms to our size requirements, and then the manufacturer at the silicon factory would take that product offline. So we'd have to start again. I mean, it's just, you know, one thing after the other. We were dealing with another component, but then that company was bought by a major phone company, and so we had to go back to the drawing board again. And each, you know, with some of these components, the ramifications with electrical design and electronics is that, you know, you have to do all of your work again. So you could be working for a year or 2 years, and then have to basically throw all that work into the toilet and start again. It's been a hair-pulling process.
It's been. It sounds like it's been quite the adventure. That's for sure.
Yeah. But you know what? Nothing worthwhile comes easy, as the saying goes. We knew that we. Once achieving our goal and objective, that it would be a tremendous product and also a tremendous solution for what we saw as just a horrendous fraud situation around credit cards.
Yeah.
And so we just persevered and didn't give up. You know, it's not in my nature. To give up once I say put the shoulder to the wheel, as they say, you just you don't look back and you just keep inching forward until you achieve your goal, and that's what we did here.
It's an absolute admirable quality that I think it's definitely the reason a lot of people just fail or don't make it, is because they just don't stay determined long enough. And you know, maybe it would have taken you 11 years, and I have a feeling you would have kept going either way.
Oh, if it took me 15 years, I'd still keep doing it. because I knew. Look, there was an inspirational speaker from California. I remember as a young person hearing him use this phrase to be a possibility thinker. You know, that has been a guiding light in the way I approach life, to look at possibilities, think of the possibilities, and then set about to achieve them. Another interesting sort of thing that's also been a big influence on my life was the history of Walt Disney. You know, he made Disneyland at the age of 50 in California after being bankrupt 5 times. He just did not give up.
No, he did not.
And look what he brought to the world, and the smiles on children's faces even today.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a wonderful contribution to society. Forget about the business. Just the ability to be able to make people happy. It's what a blessing he's brought to the world.
Yeah.
But he never gave up.
Exactly. And, I, you know, living here in Florida, you know, we have Disney World down here, so... I've taken my kids in to watch that story of something come from an idea to complete physical fruition, you know, mm-hmm. basically out of thin air, and all of these magical components come together and it happens. It's inspiring when you see that for what it is. And I in some way, shape, or form, you have exactly duplicated that. As I read through some of this stuff prior to speaking with you, thinking about the fact that, like you said, you guys had to do everything from scratch. It was a concept, and then you had to go find all of the things to put these pieces together. It wasn't how did you put it, off the shelf kind of product. And I love to see that kind of dreaming and encouragement in the world, because it reminds me that there's other things that I can do and just to keep going. I think it's a fantastic thing.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, we've been lucky with our shareholders in the company, private individuals that joined us in our dream. You know, we're all going to be very well rewarded for following it. But, you know, it's you know, from being immersed in the technology industry, I've seen a lot of companies, you know, companies that actually try to be competitors with us, or, okay, we were working on this great idea and try to copy us. And, you know, I know of three companies that started up in Silicon Valley. And it's a sad case for the way technology companies are funded in the United States, because I've seen those companies start. And then after 2 years, maximum 3 years, fold up and disappear. They just, you know, they were all backed by VC money. And the VCs in the United States just don't get serious research and development. If you're not pulling returns for them within 24 months, you know, you're ready for the undertaker, as they say. It's sad, because real applied research and development is so important to the economy and to innovation, and it's unfortunate that there's such a difficult time for real companies getting funding for this from the way funding for companies is structured these days in the United States. You know, we're seeing a lot of innovation coming out of places like Israel. We have a whole team of engineers in Israel. Their approach to applied research is completely different to what you find in Silicon Valley. But, you know, it's a little surprise that you see so much now of VC money in Silicon Valley going into app development and, you know, software development, because they can get, you know, quick results within short time frames.
Sure.
But you know what? It's so sad for the economy to see this short-sighted approach by the financial markets.
So what do you? So give me sort of an example of how that plays out in your world. To you, into the VC world, what is it that applied, you know, true applied research and development facilitates that is more successful than just the hurry up, build it, and let's start making money process?
It means people taking a long-term investment. It means, you know, people understanding the project and what you're trying to achieve, and then putting in what you call patient money to do it. It's like the difference between somebody buying a piece of land for investment and then sitting on it for 10 years and then cashing in after 10 years after, you know, towns have sprung up around your block of land, and your block of land now is worth 10 times or 20 times its value. As opposed to the person that buys a house today, dresses it up and then flips it tomorrow. Unfortunately, the VC mentality is the flipper mentality. After the quickest return on their dollar, which is okay. You know, I don't mind people having that approach. Go ahead and flip houses all the time. But you need also, if you want to build skyscrapers and things that are going to really bring about change, you have to have patient money. You have to have money that is in line with the long-term needs of in our case, and in the field of technology, applied research and development. You see a bit of that in the pharmaceutical industry and the life sciences. You do have longer-term investors. But you know what? Even there, you find the so-called hedge funds and VC money putting money into, say, new medical cure startup companies that need to do the applied research. But they're doing it so that they hope that within 1 or 2 or 3 years, that company is going to get bought out by a much bigger pharmaceutical company. They're not really there for the long term to see that product comes to market.
Right.
It's a serious issue. We because of all of this, we stayed away from VC money, and we've been very, very lucky, and we're very grateful with the private investors that have invested in our little public company. Has really allowed us to have that patient money to then come to market with our product.
Well, and I would also think that after 10 years of working not only just on a project, but your research and applied development must have facilitated some obviously things that you didn't foresee, not only with the technology, but I mean, let's talk about sort of the family environment I would think that you have built with these people and this team trying to come up with, you know, an accomplishment of this goal. I almost see what you're saying is applying to so much more of a human aspect of things, that I'm sure you've discovered more things, not only about this technology and this product, but just of the people and the business and thought processes in its entirety, so that as you can, I'm sure you're going to be able to take some of this project and this technology and this tactics to the next big thing. You've got a really good library for being together for 10 years, right?
Yes. You know, you're hitting on a very important ingredient in all businesses is the respect for the people around you that are contributing to the vision, to the business, it becomes a family. Look, in families too, you have interpersonal relationships, but what you have a glue that binds a family together, and it's called your bloodline.
Yeah, right.
In business, the glue that holds the family together is the dream. It's the mission. You know, it's something as ethereal as the bloodline, but it's as tangible and as real and as powerful. And that is so important in holding a team together for the long term, and keeping them motivated. But you know, we've been very lucky in having a team of engineers that are excited at pushing the envelope, and I think a lot of scientists and engineers are like that. It's not always the money. It's the sense of achievement of goals that really motivates people. It's like, you know, the excitement that permeated the whole of the United States when the moon program, you know, putting a man on the moon was launched, and that just didn't have repercussions of excitement to push the envelope just at NASA. It had repercussions throughout the whole country with a mindset to yes, let's push the envelope. Let's do things that we're told that we couldn't do. Let's shoot for the moon, as you say. It's a very powerful thing to understand in business, is the sense of mission and the sense of the joint cooperation to achieve a common goal.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. It is entirely the DNA of human nature to break the rules, right? you tell me I can't, and I'm going to go tell you I just did. So
exactly.
It's a great spirit to have, but. Okay, so with some of this that we were just talking about, are you the only card of this type on the market? Is that correct?
Yes. There's a couple of companies that are attempting to try and mimic us out of Europe, and you know, one notable one that's got a bit of press of recent. Their biggest fallback is they don't have a power source or rechargeable battery inside the car. Now, why that is a serious issue is that with our card, we do have a rechargeable battery inside to power the processor that does the scanning. That's absolutely necessary if you want your card to work at an ATM machine, because you know, you stand on the street, insert your card. If you're relying on the power of the ATM machine to power the processor to do your fingerprint scanning, well, it's not going to work, because most of the ATM machines these days swallow your card. So you have to have the card being able to process and read your fingerprint and process it while you're standing on the street before you actually insert the card into a reader. But we worked that out a few years ago. good luck to those that are trying to mimic what we've created. We know the pitfalls and the trouble that lies ahead for them. In the meantime, we have strong patents pending and a great foundation patent, and we're very comfortable where we sit with regards to competition and being the world's first and the serious market leader in this space.
This is absolutely amazing to me. My gears are turning at how the processing of how the world is going to accept this and how to watch this unfold. And I can imagine you and your team just sitting back for a second and going, yeah, it's about time, right?
Yeah, we did that for 5 minutes. Now
yep.
We're in South America.
And then it's on to the next thing. Yeah. So, okay, well, let's talk.
And also we're in product innovation for product two, product three. We've got future stuff coming out. We're also moving into the security card side of business for using this we're about to launch a multi-function hybrid security and identity card that can be used for corporate log-on, secure log-on to networks, as well as opening doors and identifying you at security desks, and used also as a biometric identity card. So we see great market potential for, again, taking our platform technology and then moving it into other vertical markets.
Yeah, I can imagine that by creating this product, you ran into issues that this product then solved for many other applications. And as you said, security once. So I could see how easily it would be to say, oh, well, this can work here and this can work there. I have a feeling that, and you may not be able to discuss it just because it is your technology, but I have a feeling you have probably pulled 100 different solutions out of just this project to apply to the world.
Yes. And it's, you're right. And stuff that I'd love to talk about, ideas and stuff, but it's not appropriate to be sure. Having that kind of open conversation on the radio. And it's not only just in the hardware. Think of if you've just invented a computer. Look at all of the opportunities you have for innovation on the software side and services and systems that can be built around that thing called the computer. Well, you know, we've created a new form factor type of computer device. So there's a lot of systems design and software applications that can be incorporated into the product that are very exciting as well to make life easier and better for the consumer.
Yeah, and when it rains, it pours. So you know, congratulations. I'm curious too, and I think for people to really grasp how large of an impact just this one card is with the reader, how many credit card users are there in the world? A lot, right?
There are 3.4 billion chip cards issued already around the globe. the United States, when it finishes its rollout of the chip credit cards, that'll be adding close to a billion new cards to that global market. So it'll be over 4.5 billion chip cards globally. Looking at the projections in the next 5 years, it's going to probably be over 6 billion. So it's a staggering market, absolutely staggering.
Wow. And then also
the fraud. I'm sorry, the fraud, the growth in the fraud. Well, I said, you know, 2014, the figures were globally 16 billion. It's projected in the next 4 years that the fraud in for credit cards is going to be over 25 billion. So it's even with the chip card technology, that it's not eradicating fraud at all. It's helping, but it's not it's helping mitigate, but it's not eradicating. And so this also just proves the absolute necessity of having the best and brightest brains achieving bringing out new products to fight this ongoing battle against the fraudsters.
Yeah, and I am so excited for you to see the year's data result, or even a couple months data results after this is actually into the consumer's hands, to really start seeing some of those statistics that you already know are going to happen, but to have that validation of the usage rising and the fraud declining, and knowing that that's your key component. I'm so excited for you when you get to sit back for another 5 minutes and enjoy that that day.
Thank you so much.
I'm curious how to, I know everybody, we all come up with great ideas, and it is the human nature to do that and to create, but how did this come about was it you? Was it, a couple other people? Was this a fleeting conversation at dinner and then somebody took it and ran with it? Was it really, like you said, the best brains and minds, do we have a think tank and really just kind of go through 10 really good ideas and let's pick really good one to work on?
That's a really, really interesting question. First of all, I do take credit, but then again, I don't take credit. I was the vessel for spawning the idea, but I say that as in a humble way, because Einstein was asked, and I really, really like his answer to this. He was asked, "Where do you get your ideas from?" And he said, in one of his moments of admitting to God, that he attributed his ideas to God, that they come as flashes into his mind, and then he cogitates and thinks on them, and that's how his ideas came to life. Most inventors have that experience where a flash of an idea comes to the mind, it comes to your mind. And then it's what you do with that flash of an idea. Do you spend time thinking about it, processing it, and then working through how to implement it? That's then making yourself the vessel to receive an idea and then to bring it into reality. I started off in technology when I was 18 years of age. Banging my own drum, as it were, or blowing my own bugle. I created the world's first database of the English language. It was back when the database systems used Boolean operators and I created the world's first plain text English query language system for online database systems. I computerized the Webster's Dictionary, wrote the first electronic publishing license agreement with Simon & Schuster. So at a very young age, and I remember giving like I'm from Australia, you can probably tell I don't have a normal accent. In Australia, I was on a committee and actually steered the committee for writing the first computer curriculum for schools in K-12 in Australia. Anyway, that led me to giving a lot of talks to educators about this thing called computer technology. And I remember saying to educators that there'll come a time it'll be more important to teach children how to think rather than what to think, because information will be accessible at the press of a button. And I gasped from audiences. You know, it was quite revolutionary, that concept. Still is today, but anyway. Heaven forbid that we teach young minds how to process and analyze and critically think about information. But anyway, that's a divergence. The other thing is, I used to give in my talks about, you know, travel agents are going to disappear. People are going to be able to use computers to book airline tickets and hotel rooms and do all sorts of things. And this was a decade before Amazon or hotels.com. It was decades before. It was in fact, I was doing emailing before there was an AOL, but that's another story. benefit of being immersed in and being a forward thinker, as it were, in technology. I saw the problem coming with payments. I saw when I wrote my first patent to deal with the use of smart card technology in the payment industry back in 1999, I saw then that there was going to be a massive, massive problem with frauds in industry, and the smart cards themselves could be able to mitigate that, against that. And then I took the logic even further, looking at, okay, if I wanted to, you know, the weak link in the chain was pins. If I were to replace a pin, what technology would I use? And which then led me to thinking about biometrics, and then led me to, you know, coming up with the solution of incorporating biometrics into the credit card. So, you know what? The bottom line is, be open to that spark of an idea. Whatever industry you're in, be a vessel to cogitate, think about, and work that idea, and then sit down and logically think of how you can bring that idea into fruition. That's my best advice to any budding inventor.
I absolutely am on your wavelength. I continuously remind myself to listen to those little voices in your head that you're not crazy. That is the inspiration. That is the source. That is the muse that is giving you hints to the next really cool thing for you in your life. And thank you for validating that for me.
Absolutely. You know, again, gets back to what I said earlier on in the interview, a saying that I heard, which has been and still is very inspirational to me: be a possibility thinker. Don't be those that always look at finding out reasons why not to do things. Look at reasons as why not, and look at the possibilities of life.
Yes. Yeah. Another one for that, my father used to always say, most people will look at things and say why. You need to look at things and say why not. And that is so true. I am absolutely ecstatic for you. I am amazed at this project, and I'm very thankful that we have been connected in order to interview and really talk and get you some more exposure with this. But I just am really excited for you guys and can just feel, probably you're all ready to jump out of your seats if you haven't already, at the next great big thing that's coming your way. But sit back and enjoy the ride, right?
Yes. Thank you, Keith. Thank you so much. And thank you for the opportunity to share with you and your audience.
Absolutely. And so I will end up reposting all of our interview, as well as the links for Smart Metrics I'm going to send up there, and the YouTube link that everybody has, so that when people hear this, they can actually see it, because I don't think you really grasp how neat and how inventive this is until you can see that credit card in somebody's hand. And then as you did in the video where you peeled it apart, so you can actually see how that goes in. Is really truly I don't think you grasp it until you visualize that moment. So, so we will, we'll post that back up and we will share it to all of our audiences. And, if there's, did we miss anything? Is there anything else we needed to cover for you that I maybe didn't get?
No, that's, we're covered a lot.
Well, good. Well, I wish you and your team the best of luck and go get it, because we're all ready to watch you do it.
Thank you so much for that encouragement, and thank you. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, hang on the line here real quick. I'm going to get us out of here, and then let me check back in with you. So just hold on real quick, okay?
Yeah, sure.
All right, everybody that's listening to Business Radio X here in Pensacola, Florida, and you guys can find us at Pcola Radio X. You can find us at pensacola.businessradiox.com for our web address, and please tune in for more from Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.